you are not looking on the fact that the servant here addressed him as father.
Because the fact that he says servants, plural and not just servants.
Okay. And that, yes. And his servants came near and said to him, "My father, Brother Gilbert, I noticed the plural, but we also notice that he is address, while it said his servants, he is addressed as my father. And from all indication, we are not sure if many of his servants had come to him to say the same thing. I agree that we have the plural there. My own understanding is that it's the same person who had started the reasoning that might have continued, that is, the young lady, continued the same sensible, logical reasoning. But it's possible, Brother Gilbert, that it could also be other servants. You see, the fact is, I'm going to... just a minute. Keep in mind that when he came to Israel, he had many attendants with him. And it could have been one of those that was reasoning with him. You know. Yes, you were saying.
Earl would have gone with him to, because she didn't speak to him directly. She spoke to the wife.
Yes, she more serves as an assistant or servant to the wife, the household. And you're right in that.
But it still doesn't take away the principle of what you are...
No. But it's possible here, and not only possible, more likely that it is one of the servants who followed him to Israel. Keep in mind that because it was the slave girl who gave them this information and this special mission, she might have been asked to come with him. You see, I'm only mentioning a possibility that because she knew about Elisha, the prophet, she was the one who opened their eyes to this. It could be that for this special mission, she was asked. But I think the likely thing, Brother Gilbert, is that it's one of his servants who followed him. You know. Okay? Any other...
Yes, Brother Richard. you're using this section of the lesson to stir up our evangelistic effort.
Mm-hmm.
And if I know somebody who have leprosy in a particular area, I would be interested in telling them about who can cure them. But I am not necessarily placing leprosy and sin on the same level. Not recognizing that sin is a more deadly ailment than leprosy.
Yes, yes. It's only this. Leprosy typifies sin. There is a lesson for the past month or two. I've been planning to share it with the congregation. And in that lesson, I plan to start on a fact that we have heard many times, that in the Bible, Egypt, for the most part, represents sin.
Yeah.
In the Bible, Egypt is symbolic of sin. leaving Egypt represents a type of repentance and a type of forgiveness. The lesson in consideration that will be shared will be showing how God's condition for forgiveness, which was being typified then, must always be met in all of its detail. So in the same way that you have, like, Egypt represents sin, the Israelites were some 400 plus years in bondage. When we live by the practice of sin, we are slaves to sin. Well, leprosy was one of those things. In the same way that Egypt typifies sin, leprosy typifies sin. There was no cure for leprosy in that time. Leprosy was a debilitating disease. It started little by little, it incapacitate a person. Leprosy represents death. I'm trying to see if I I'm coming, Brother Peart. There is a passage in Numbers where leprosy is symbolic of death. In fact, not just symbolic. When you had leprosy, you were good as dead. Well, sin is the same thing. Sin represents death. Death comes because of sin. And I can go on in the many ways where the disease of leprosy only The only cure for leprosy then was miraculous through the one of God's prophets. So it is in that way. And I mean, you're right in that sin is much worse. Keep in mind, of course, that the ultimate consequence of sin is in the hereafter, eternal punishment. The Old Testament character did not have a hereafter punishment in their mind. To Old Testament character, going against God, you end up in Sheol, that is the grave. For us, the fact is, remember, Jesus Christ brought life and immortality to what? To life. That is saying, it was not until Jesus Christ came that the world, that men and women understand the hereafter better. And that's a fact. The gospel points out that. So, while the Old Testament character were not looking towards a hereafter beyond death, they understood then that when a person suffered from leprosy, it's the worst things that could happen to a person. There were very few diseases that was comparable to leprosy. Leprosy was contagious. If somebody's tempted to say sin is not, it is. It is. In fact, sin is one of the most contagious things. You see, leprosy was. What many of you have seen in Ben-Hur. Quite a lot of us have seen that movie, Ben-Hur. When after Ben-Hur got fame and returned to his home to find his mother, she was a leper living in the leper's camp. Nobody, no healthy person should go there. You see, a leper was isolated because it was a contagion. It was a contagious disease. Sin is like that. So you're right in the sense that sin is much more dangerous. But the fact still remains that when one had leprosy, leprosy was a type of sin or represent what sin is. It could only be cured by God's miraculous power. Sin can be dealt with only by the Almighty God in Jesus Christ. And while I make that simple statement, remember, all the sins that were ever committed, any sins that are going to be dealt with, forgiven, only Jesus Christ can forgive that sin. All the sin committed hundreds, thousands of years before Jesus Christ, they were never truly removed, cleansed, forgiven until Jesus Christ came. No sin for anyone can be forgiven outside of Jesus Christ. Even the sins that were committed hundreds and thousands of years before Christ, They had to wait until Christ died, buried, and resurrected to be truly cleansed. Yes.
So, in saying that, how conscious are we of this deadly sin? Because when we know a person with ailment, we want to send them to a person who can cure them. But we mingle and associate with persons who are in sin, but we don't see them as being ill. So we don't try to direct them to cure.
Sorry, Brother Pugh. Say that again.
No, if we know persons who have leprosy, no. Then we'll try to direct them to persons.
We'll try to direct them to whomever. There are medical cure now.
Right.
But and you're right, Brother Pugh, that we, if we know a doctor that can do, we will direct the person to that doctor. Go on now.
But because we don't see the severity of sin in the same way.
That's right.
We will go by a person and don't say, that person quite all right, then don't really need to be ill.
Very important. Brother Pierce, we have become so acclimatized to sin. We have become so used to just taking sin for granted that the urgency that we should have in respect to beat our own sin or the sin of others, for many, that urgency is not there. And the illustration you're drawing is so fitting. You're right. If we know of any person suffering from any deadly disease, I was about to mention cancer. Cancer is not as deadly a disease now as it was, say, 20, 30 years ago, because there are lack of natural and medical cure for cancer, and that is a fact. That is a fact. I have at least two magazines by Dr. David Williams, the publisher of Alternative Magazine. It is, that magazine is subscribed to by more doctors than any of the magazine you will find in the U.S. And at least two of his books, one of them titled, booklet magazine, one of them titled, Never Fear Cancer Again. And all he does in it is state the many natural cure that have been not quack thing, you know, not country concoction, cure that has been researched and proven. One of the one of the experts that he mentioned there is Dr. Isaac Eliade, one of the world top cancer researcher now. So, Never Fear Cancer Again. And in it, he lists the different type of cancer for which there's cure. The problem, of course, is a lot of time for cancer, sometimes we permit it to go too far. What do I mean? When it is, and any doctor will tell you that, Sister Bean, whoever, that when it spread too far, when it is detected too late, then your chance of recovery is diminished. So, let's put cancer one side, while it's still a killing disease. Let's take AIDS. Huh? Because there's still no cure for that. If we know a person suffering from that disease, if the person is a stranger and we know a person who can cure it, even for the stranger, we would write down information and say, go and see this doctor. We would. We should have the same attitude towards sin. And do you know what? Every child of God is, I was about to say should. But if you're a Christian, you should know the one expert to deal with sin. And you know what? You don't have to drive or take plane or bus many miles to find him. Huh? Jesus Christ is the expert on curing sin. And he is, well, the Bible says he's in your mouth. Huh? The gospel. Huh? Remember the passage in Hebrew? Who shall ascend in heaven to bring him down? I like Paul in that passage because he is anticipating excuses that men and women will make. So where is this Jesus Christ? He's in heaven. Who's going to go up there to bring him down? Paul, in Romans, Paul said, no, he's close by. And you know what he's referring to? The gospel. He says, right in your mouth, in your heart. But I come back, Brother Pierre, to the point. We are not as alert and as urgent with sin to let men and women know that Jesus Christ wants to and can make a difference in your life. And the two lessons on this slave girl is about that. She did not just make a difference. She made the difference. And God wants us to be like that. There are so many ways. May I take the use of religious tract? I carry tract in my car. And at any time you don't find religious tract there, it's probably because I run out and had forgotten. And a lot of times it's when I need a tract to give somebody and look in the pocket, in the door, and don't see any. I realize that I've given them all out. I need to replenish it. But you know what? Another thing with doing track, even the tracks that I write, whenever I have a person in mind that I'm going to give one to, I read over that track. I make sure that the track is targeting certain truth I want it to target. So I refresh my mind. So that's a, many of the track that is in the pocket, and I notice we are diminishing, being diminished. We'll have to get them. I wrote them, and what I wrote in them is not something I copy from somebody else. No, I wrote those. But I read them over. I'll come to the office and realize that I'm going to be meeting somebody and we're going to discuss this subject. And I'll take one of those tracts that I plan to give the person and make sure I go over it. I want to feel confidence that when that person walks away from the discussion, there is residual truth given to the person. Every child of God, because a lot of time you are not able to do a lot of teaching, and that is the sometimes the time does not allow both of you the person. When you give the person the tract, the person may not read it the same day or the day after. In fact, sometimes it's a week or two after the person run into that tract and look at it and turn it around and start reading, and something was said there to interest the person. The person wants to go further. There are so many ways that we can practice soul winning, evangelism, represent Christ, bring men and women to the truth. But it comes right back to the very valid point you raised, Brother Pierce. Any disease we know people suffering from, even stranger, if there is a person we think can help, you know what we're going to do? Arrange for that sick person to meet the person who can help. Jesus Christ can help. Whatever the problem, Christ can help. He invites us to cast all our care upon Him. So, your friends at work, your neighbor, their situation might not be religious. It might be some family problem, some health problem, some children problem, whatever. Those are always good opportunity for you to introduce Jesus Christ. Are we all there? But back to the brother's point, we are not as sensitive, conscientious, and alert to people's spiritual danger, the potency of sin, as we are to. It is so unfortunate. Yeah.
I just wanted to add to Brother Pierce's comment and what you were saying in respect to leprosy typifying sin. That as Christians, even in our own lives, you know, we should be seeing the need for urgency in terms of dealing with sin. You know,
that's
so,
right.
So the leprosy, one of the things about it is that it's killing you, but you don't have much time. And sometimes as Christians, we it's almost like we recognize that we have sin to deal with, and we procrastinate.
Yeah.
We delay. Not recognizing that we don't know when we are going to get cut off from life, and so we are endangering ourselves. So from an internal perspective, we should never cause ourselves to be at a place where we get comfortable with sin, but recognizing that we have this leprosy.
That's right.
That we should act urgently.
It calls for urgent
right. And
attention.
Yes. Because a lot of times internally we, you know, because the other part of the comment is that why we should be telling persons that they need to go to the doctor in terms of going to Jesus. We should also be emphasizing the urgency too. And so the appeal too is for persons who may even be here who are not members of the church. You have been coming, visiting, you know, persons might even think that you are a part of the body because you are here so regular.
That's right.
To recognize that there is need for action and urgent action.
Brother Webb, please, because along with Brother Pierce and your Annie, what you're saying there is so important, brother. And I want you to continue. I just want to push in something there. So often, different situation comes up. Quite often over the past 2-3 years, that I remember young person like Marcus Lynch. Anybody here who knows, who knew Marcus, well, I know Selvin knew Marcus. Marcus, a young man, young. Life is before him. Marcus, when he drowned, he could not have been more than about 20-something, or probably 30. I don't think he reached 30. He has been to gospel meeting here. He has never thrown on any invitation that I know I gave him personally. He had been the one who wrote all our banners when we have gospel meeting, 3-4 banners doing a park and wherever we put our calico banner. He was the one who did it for years. Now his father did it. Remember, Marcus' mother, Sister Lynch, became a mother and she passed. But when Marcus passed, Marcus was young. And ever so often, I remember him. And what create like pain in the heart is the fact that he was young. He had not yet lived. And like young people all over, he probably thought he had all the time in the world. Are we all there? But he was called away. The other person I keep remembering is Dave Douglas. Our internet system. Michael and some of you young adults. He was the one who helped to set it up and put money into it. And then he backslide. Different ones. Meeting, reminding that he once had a commitment to Christ, and I don't think he had ever frowned on any of those reminders. He planned to come back. When I got word that he was shot, I was literally devastated. Then Dave, he was such a handsome young man. I mean, you know, you talk about, when you talk about pretty, that's referred to a woman. but you could almost say Dave was pretty. he was a nice person. But just like that, the wickedness of the gun bullet and the heart, he was shot and killed. Well, Dave, as a young man, felt that he had all the time in the world. And Brother Webb and Brother Peart, it's come back to a point you raised that even for us Christians, that we don't know when and how we are going to be called home to eternity. When I reach the office tonight, there was one message on the machine, and I said I wouldn't check it because I want to make some additional jotting on my lesson. But I checked the message, and the person asked me to call back as soon as I can. That too I was going to put off. There is some business I'm doing for somebody, and that person is involved. It's the lady. So when she said, call back, I said, I'm going to let it stay until tomorrow. But something said, let me just check her. That is tonight, you know. And when I got her, she said, Brother Mitchell, I'm about to say something. Don't be alarmed. So I thought it's the business I'm doing. So I said, no, man, I don't get alarmed. Over. When she finally break the news, it's dead. And it is the death of a person who is involved in the business that I am handling. That is since me come. And it's not a death that I expect or anticipate. Just like that. So, you remember talk about the urgency that we need to go along with as it relates to sin. For any of us. Because we do not know how we will be called home or when we will be called home. Go on, brother. Me take up most of your time, huh? Well, I'll give you some more time.
The point was
yes. But we ought to have an urgency. May I, as we are going to wrap up, one of the area, this is why, like on Wednesday night, we are looking on the different kinds of what? And save people. Different categories. Because one of the areas that we are caught by Satan is that by people merely being religious, what that does to us. We tell ourselves that person doesn't need Christ. And that's where you and, well, many of us going to allow a lot of people to be lost. Because we have never seen the urgent need to get them on the right track. Not just any religious track, but on the right gospel track. And we need to consider our ways there too. We are going to end here. The lesson that was planned for tonight is the lesson that I started last Sunday night. God's order for the family. There are few important, interesting point to be discussing this lesson, but our time is gone. So most likely next week or the following Sunday night we will pick up on God's order for the family. God has an order for the Christian family. God's blessing is dependent on the Christian respecting and living by God's order. So we hope that you will be here when we pick up on that. You can become a Christian tonight. We have just spent time discussing the fact that it's urgent. Of you all, if you are here not a Christian, or even if you are a Christian who have grown weak, backslide, have you ever considered why the Ethiopian eunuch didn't pass the water? Why the Philippian jailer didn't wait until in the morning? What's the rush? Man, it's 2 o'clock now. Paul could have looked on his watch and said, it's 2 o'clock now. 2 o'clock in the night. Or 1:30. He can wait until tomorrow morning. You know who would tell him that he can't wait? The same Paul. The Bible says he baptized in the same hour of the night. Why? Having our sins dealt with is an urgent matter. May God help us to be mindful of that. Thank God we are alive, huh? And tonight you can have your sins, your trespasses, dealt with by the merciful God through Jesus the Christ.